Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the Internet. And this is your host, Allison, and I thank you for tuning into my show this evening. I'm happy that you're here, and it's a great night to be tuning into the show because my special guest this evening is Aaron Goodwin, the cameraman and member of the paranormal investigative team on the hit TV show Ghost Adventures from the Travel Channel. The new
Hello.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, I just cut you off.
Hello, Aaron.
Well,
let me tell them really quick that the new season of Ghost Adventures began Friday, September 17th, and it airs every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's in its third season on the Travel Channel, and we're going to talk to Aaron tonight about what's in store on the upcoming episodes and also talk about his experiences ghost hunting with Nick and Zach at all these notoriously haunted locations. And now, Aaron, it's my pleasure to welcome you to the show. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Sorry for cutting you off there.
Hey, no problem. We're just letting everybody know that Aaron's on the road. He's traveling, so we got him on the cell phone. So hopefully he'll be able to hang with us and we don't lose him. So anyhow, thanks for, I know you got a really crazy busy schedule, so I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show tonight, Aaron.
No problem.
Okay.
I love it. No problem.
Good. Well, let me ask you this first and foremost, okay? Like,
okay.
You know, what was your life like before you met Nick and Zach and started filming the, you know, what was your life like before all of this?
My life was like, it was pretty interesting. I was just a cameraman for 10 years before that and a server for restaurants and just played the normal average role. And then as soon as I met these guys, it turned into a whole different story.
Really? No, no. Were you interested at all in the paranormal?
Not really. I knew Nick for a long time, and he just asked me to come and shoot him, and help shoot the thing they were doing. And we went out there, and I never really thought twice about ghosts, to be honest with you. I mean, I knew they were out there, but, like, didn't really think about it until I got to Virginia City, and that's when that's when it all changed. I've actually quit. I wanted no more part of it after Virginia City left. I'm cool. And then they went and did the gold field. And then, like, years later, after you're doing a paranormal experience, you get addicted to it, you know, or you just shun away from it for good. I just started having more things happening around the house, and the place that I lived was kind of haunted. I started recognizing it, and after being around it for so long, you just want to go out and actually hunt, you know. So
right.
So when we did the show, it was like, yeah, okay, cool, but not really realizing what we were going to do. Zach and Nick were going to have me do.
So this has kind of changed your life, like a 360.
Yeah, oh, totally, from light to dark.
Well, let me ask you, what one location, if you were to pick any one given location of all the places that you've been on and done investigations, what one scared you the most?
Bob Mackie's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky. That one definitely changed me forever. So
you guys were on location on that two times, right?
Well, actually, three times. We went there originally and shot the episode there. And then we went back with a bunch of fans, like almost 100 people. And we brought Bishop James, he did a blessing on the well. And just everything went bad for everybody. Everyone went home with, like, something happening to them. Some fall, almost everyone home. And it was really bad. And then we went back for an episode and brought Bishop James back to do a blessing on the well. And,
Now, okay, let's backtrack here a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Because on the show on Friday night, pretty much you were kind of talking about that this particular location has more than just ghosts, that you feel that, that maybe there might be something more, let's just call it dark side entity in that location, and that this entity or whatever it is followed everybody home. Okay, so you're home, okay, after, what happened? I mean, like, what was going on in your house?
Well, I was married at the time, and when I came back, her and I would share these same nightmares. She would wake up in the middle of the night, like, all panicking and scared, and then, like, would say, you know, like, it was always this white-bearded, he looked like a fisherman, but it wasn't a fisherman outfit. It's really hard to explain. But he would always be in these dreams, and then stuff would happen around the house. I mean, I sound crazy talking about it, but, I mean, glasses would shatter, like, not just break, but, like, almost dust figure-ish. Like, it was just, it would turn into, like, a dust kind of powder. It was the weirdest thing, all the way from, like, posters, like, bolted into my wall and frames, getting thrown off across the room. And so this would happen with her. And when I left, I'd be gone all the time. And so it's kind of like I'd always be worried for her, you know, being home alone with it and having nightmares once in a while. She's a tough cookie. She could handle it, but at the same time, I'm never there. And so that was happening back then. And so then we kind of split off. We kind of called it off because I was never home. Plus, the fact is, you know, I wanted to keep her safe because whatever was following me, it was also following me to locations. I could tell. I just know what was around me. And then when we went back into the ghost hunt, it got personal. It actually started talking about her and what we share of nightmares and stuff. So it was like coming after her in a way you could tell her. But, you know, it got really spooky. So then, now that I'm on my own and we went back at that location, I have such a, like, a, I don't know. I guess I'm like, I left my mark at Mackey's, you know, I don't know. But it's like when I went there and then Bishop James was doing, you saw the episode the other night, last week, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I did.
So when he was doing the busting on the well, I really wanted to hurt him. That's all I could think about. And when we were done, I went up and I, you know, I told him that. He kind of blew it off like, oh, okay, Aaron, you know, like laughing about it. Because, you know, seriously, if I was in his shoes, I would too instead of take it straight on. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So then the night goes on. We're done shooting. We're going to, you know, to drive away. And usually I'm the first one to be like, you know, James, can you bless me? You know, and I couldn't even look at him on this one. And I ended up, like, just talking to him for a while, and I really just wanted, something was in me that I had to get after him and get him down, you know, for what he just did. And then he kind of tricked me into, like, asking me if I wanted to be blessed, and I said yes, and then he just, like, went at me real quick and blessed me, and you know, I kind of broke down for, like, 2 minutes.
Really?
But then it's weird, but it's really weird because, like, a week and a half later, I went and shook another guy's hand, and he's another exorcism guy, and my hands started swelling up. It was bad. It was, like, really weird. And so it's like something with Mackie follows me around. It's been that way for 2 years.
Wow.
Sorry, just thinking about that kind of gets me all emotional. It's just weird. Something about Mackie's, and it's, like, it's haunted me for a long time. And people I've been close with that even haunted their nightmares. And it's really weird. It's something weird with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's the,
and that
that's
really
the R-rated version of that story.
God. So, I don't know how they got you back there after the first time, tell you the truth, but I knew that. I could tell from the episode that stuff went on that didn't actually get filmed. I mean, and that was actually one of my questions for you, so you kind of, like, answered it, because I kind of thought maybe, you know, you really had a profound experience, a really scary experience there on, you know, the last time you were there. So, wow.
It was really scary. And I'm glad the cameras weren't rolling because it was something no one needs to see. You know what I mean? Like even with so vaguely it was back, like, we only showed you a little tiny bit. You don't need to see the rest. You know, even when the cameras cut, when Bishop was like, this doesn't need to be filmed, like, because, you know, you just don't need to show certain things. But this was, like, after it was all over, it was weird. Like, I didn't even talk. There was, like, an hour I just went by and wouldn't even talk. And I didn't even realize that. I was just really quiet. And then, like, that's when Bishop James started picking it up on me after we were done. And I was just out of the area, and then that's when it happened. I mean, who knows, you know, you're not predicting it's going to happen. You're hoping it's not going to happen. And when it happens, you know, cameras, right. Dude, there's so many times we're hunting and cameras aren't rolling and craziest stuff happens. And we're like, damn, you know,
right,
we should have been rolling. But that's, you know, it's like fishing. You never know when you're going to catch the fish.
Well, you know, it's kind of like back, I think it was Moon River. I think Moon River, someplace where you were.
Yeah.
And Nick, Nick was in a room, and he looked up at the camera, and he said he just wanted to kill you guys, and he had this look on his face. I mean, you know, it's kind of along the same thing of, like, picking up the hostility of the spirits and, you know, kind of projecting it at you guys. I mean, you were filming him at that time. What the heck did you think when you saw his face looking like that? Because he, you know, let's face it, he seems to be a pretty nice guy. He seems to be always in a good mood, and he's looking up at you looking like a serial killer.
Yeah, well, that was the craziest part, because Nick's the most, he's real ground. He, like, he sticks his ground. He's not really afraid of nothing, it seems, you know? And, like, when he's going down, we were trying to get a hold of, like, you know, Nick, let's go, you know, like, you couldn't snap it out of it. At first, I was like, whoa, this ain't Nick. And then when he looked up, you could just tell it wasn't Nick. It was scary. It's like, there's two, that, and when he gets scared at Linda Vista Hospital, that was, like, the two moments where I'm like, holy crap, you know, like, wow. That movie's a brewing company, man. Here's another thing. Like, we're all walking back up the stairs, and he was behind us, and I honestly thought I was going to get, like, shanked in the back or something. Like, I had no idea.
Yeah. Wow. Well, they always seem to, like, you don't seem to want to be alone. It's kind of like, I want to do the camera work. I really don't want to do the rest of it, and they always seem to stick you alone somewhere in the worst of places. It also seems to me that you feel, there's a word, it's clairsentience, I feel. They do stuff to you, whether they drain your energy or whether the spirits affect you, but you always seem to be sometimes, like, really kind of overcome by that. I mean, is it more so you than them?
Yeah, it's really weird, like, the more I do this, the more I notice it. And, like, I've gotten to the point now where, like, I'll get a really bad headache or, like, something, different little things will happen with me. And I'm realizing that something's around me. And, like, I'm not psychic at all, but I think I can really feel spirits around sometimes. And because, like, they do pick on me. In a way, I've realized maybe I was born to do this. Like, there's a reason for this, you know?
Sure.
Because you don't just get thrown into it. We didn't audition for this. This just happened. You know what I mean? Like, and, like,
right.
For me, it just accidentally happened, you know? And was it an accident? Or who knows? But,
no.
But yeah,
no.
I, the more I do this, the more I'm realizing, like, oh, I can feel things around and stuff. And they do like to pick on me. I'm fearful. I'm a scared guy. I mean, like, it's really terrifying. When you guys see me scared in there, just know I'm terrified. You know what I mean? Like, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, okay, I got, like, 20 more minutes and I'm out of here. You know what I mean? Like, I can walk out of this room or, like, whatever, you know? Like, it's terrifying. But since Mackie, this is the weird thing, but since Mackie's has happened, now, I mean, I get scared. That's a natural reaction to get scared, spook, jump, whatever. But now it's like, instead of, like, leaving, I kind of want to hang out. It's really weird. But at the same time, don't get me wrong, I'm the first one to be like, yeah, okay, I'm out.
Well, you know, I want to take you back to what you said about this wasn't accidental, it's destiny. I mean, and I know that we got a caller. I hear the beep, but I'm going to take you, caller, so just hang in there for a second, because I want to just ask Aaron this or tell Aaron this. It is destiny, okay, that you wouldn't have gotten this opportunity. You wouldn't have met these guys. You wouldn't be doing what you're doing unless this is what was meant to be for you, okay? And I beg to differ on whether or not you're psychic, okay, because everyone is psychic to a certain degree. And I really feel that sometimes when people are more psychic, such as I would imagine Zach especially, but when you're more psychic, I think that you actually, this is part of your experience. It's kind of like this is what you're meant to do, and it does kind of give you like a sixth sense as far as sensing when spirits around, feeling the cold chills, feeling their energy, kind of knowing when a room is dead and knowing when a room has got something in it. That is psychic. It's just you're not calling it psychic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can see your point
right.
on that. And I kind of do agree, but yeah, I would say then there's different levels of psychic. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't
know. Or maybe, you never know.
Right.
Who knows? I could get hit by lightning, or not lightning, but like, you know, zap myself, and, you know, that's how it works with people, right?
Well,
like when I was a kid, I was kicked in the face by a horse when I was the age of two, and I almost died. And ever since I was kicked in the face, I can remember details to everything when I was age three to now. And so, you know, who knows? Maybe like a shock to the body can make something happen, you know?
Right. Well, I'm a numerologist, you know, and I know you don't know what that is, but, you know, we look at people's energy based on their name and their date of birth. And let me tell you, you know, I'm pretty darn sure if I did a workup on you, Zach, and Nick, I'd find some serious psychic ability. I'm telling you, I'll stake my reputation on it, that you guys got psychic ability and that part of these experiences are meant to be for you because And this is all part of the tools that you're going to use to do what you're meant to do. Okay, so saying all of that, I'm going to go ahead and take our caller, okay? So you up for a question from one of your fans?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So who's calling the show?
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Sue Adams from Ohio.
Hi, Sue. Do you watch Ghost Adventures?
Pardon?
Do you watch Ghost Adventures?
I would like to talk to your guest and
okay.
talking about our experience.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. We lived in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, which was a very, very small town in southern Pennsylvania. And we lived in the Bystow Estate. And everybody in the town, when we transferred there, said, oh, you don't want to live there. It's haunted. It's haunted. It's haunted. Well, you know, we moved in because we didn't believe in anything being haunted. And after a couple weeks, we met the man and his mother, who were relatives to the people that owned the Bystow Estate. And they said, oh, my word, you aren't the people that rented that. And we said, yeah, why? Well, it's haunted. Why would you want to live there? And we said, we don't believe in it's haunted. So we went. He said, well, my mom and I were there last week on the first landing going upstairs, and there was my aunt at the top of the stairs. And she had been dead. And he said, we got out of there, and my mother will never go back. And I said, why? You know, I didn't understand. I don't understand it. So, and so then my clothes started disappearing. Well, in the attic, it was heated. And my husband was plant manager of the building across the street, and one of the guys came in and said to him, hey, Pete, do you know your attic windows are open? And Pete said, no. So when he came home at lunch, he went upstairs, and it was like November, and I had all the Christmas presents up there, and I had a lock on the door. I was the only one that had a key. So
attics are creepy no matter what.
So you found out that your house was actually haunted, right, Sue?
Oh, yes, we did. Yes. But they were very, you know, I have to say, they were very nice. They never did anything to scare my four children, except the only one they scared was the cat. The cat would leave about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you wouldn't see her until the next morning.
Congratulations, you got good real estate.
So do you really believe it was haunted?
Well, probably, because you got to think about it. This whole world's haunted. In the United States, it used to be Indians all the way down to Spanish, you know? Like, now it's Americans. And so, like, there's always, you know, death and burial grounds. And so, technically, you know, even England's even more haunted than we are, or more older than we are. So I think everything's haunted in a way. It's just, yeah, you never know. I mean, even the house, you try to find out the backstory. That's how you find that out if it is haunted. Try to find the backstory or the story of that house's history, and I bet you find out there was a death in there or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, see, there was a death. The housekeeper, she lived in the attic. That's why it was heated. And she was killed by a train at the square in Shippensburg.
Well, you might have your answer there, because she probably died and then came back to the place that she loved.
Yes, that's it. She kept coming back and coming back. and stealing my clothes.
Stealing her clothes.
Oh, man, I got stories about hidden stuff. I have some kid prankster follow me home and hide my remote control, anything. It's weird. It's really weird. And sometimes I wonder if I'm going crazy, but I realize I'm not.
You're not crazy. Okay.
Well, if you're crazy, because sometimes I think I'm crazy thinking about this stuff. But my family and I have really become to believe this. You know,
right.
We've never been anything through anything like this. I mean,
well,
you know,
Yes.
Everything was fine. Okay, I guess I won't take up any more of your time.
Thanks, Sue, for calling.
You're always told when you're a kid, there's no such thing as ghosts, so you'll sleep, so you got brainwashed.
There are ghosts.
What'd you say?
He said when you were a kid, you were told that there was no such thing as ghosts, but you were brainwashed. There really is ghosts.
Yeah, so I think there are.
Yeah.
Okay. You
thanks
do have a good evening.
Thank you.
Okay,
no
thank
problem.
You. All right. You know, and you know, this is one of the great things about your show and many of the other ghost shows that are on TV, okay, because it really kind of opens up the discussion. Because so many people have had the experience, something's happened somewhere, somehow, someplace, but it's something that they just didn't talk about or felt comfortable talking about, but then along comes these shows, and the people like you that are on there, and you're proving, and really, honestly, with the evidence that y'all are getting, amazing evidence of spirit activity, actual apparitions, shadows, orbs, EVPs, you name it, you guys are getting it. So it starts a discussion, and it allows people to tell their stories and feel more comfortable and feel like they're not crazy. So you see what a service you're doing, Aaron?
I am seeing the service. I started, too, because, like, I kind of relate to this. Like, think about it. If everybody believes in Santa Claus would be real, you know? Jeff Bellinger has this book that's called, like, But it talks about that. Like, so, like, we should, like, here's the thing. It's not just us who's getting more evidence. All these hunters right now, the last couple of years, have been getting amazing evidence. So I think it's something happening right now on Earth, or something's happening. Maybe more people are believing. Maybe they're coming out. It's like Ghostbusters, you know? Like, everyone started seeing the ghosts, but as soon as, like, to get rid of them, they had to sing that song, so the magic goo, you know what I mean? You know, like, the whole story of it all. And so it's just like, I think that what's happening now is more people are being aware of it. They're now second-guessing their experiences that they had that they blew off. And it's starting to become more of a,
intensifying.
Everyone's getting more evidence. Yeah, it's really weird. But even these people out here just have their own little paranormal crews. But they got tons of evidence. A lot of people are getting it. I think something's happening.
I agree with you, Aaron, and anybody that's been around, like, in the spiritual arena for any amount of time, we've been saying this all along, that the paranormal is becoming normal, and that the veil, or whatever you want to call it, that separates us from the third dimension, or the fifth dimension, or the other dimension, is becoming thinner, and more people are having these experiences. I teach psychic development classes. I do a lot of numerology workshops, and a lot of people, even when I'm doing readings, they have had these experiences, and they don't know what to do with them. And it's happening more and more often to people, so that, as I said, it's becoming more normal and not so much paranormal. And it's intensifying all over the place. And it's not just you, it's not just me. But I think that the programs that are on TV, such as yours, opens up that discussion and allows people to talk about it, which is a good thing.
Yeah. No, it is. You know what? And another thing is it's like exactly what you said. Like, people are getting this and getting curious of what's happening, you know? And, like, it's like, it's your, I guess, like, I don't know, I'm having a brain fart. But, you know, you're exactly right.
Right. Well, it is happening. It's, you know, the energy of the planet itself has gone up in decimals, you know, which means our vibration is raising up, because the planet itself is raising in its vibration. And when you think in terms of energy is vibration, right, and spirit energy is vibration, it just stands to reason that the higher our vibration goes, the closer we get to that spirit, and then probably the more we get to see them. So should make life interesting. I know a lot of people see things out of the corner of their eyes and shadows and things like that. You know, it was really funny. I had I kept seeing this shadow floating down the hallway at my house, and our dog had passed away. So I was thinking to myself, you know, I wonder if that's my dog. And I happened to have two psychic mediums come and visit me for the weekend. And they were here for about 12 hours. And then finally the girl spoke up and she says, "Do you know that you have a boy spirit that's in your hallway?" And I looked at her really funny and I go, "I do." And she says, "Uh-huh." And she said, "Both my husband and I have seen them." And I go, "I think I've seen them too." And, you know, and I actually could see this shadow every once in a while go down the hallway. So I think, and that's something that, you know, 10 years ago, you know, maybe not so much, but, you know, people are seeing things that they didn't see before. I know when I was a kid, and I'm a lot older than you, I'll be 57, and when I was a kid, I used to feel things in my bedroom at night all the time. I swear to God, I lived in a haunted house. And I get woke up in the middle of the night. I know that something was in the room. It really felt cold. It really felt eerie. And I just hid under the covers and shook, you know. And I can remember that kind of crap when I was a kid. And, of course, at that time, you couldn't go tell anybody, you know. You had to kind of suck it up.
Exactly.
Yeah, you had to suck
it up. Your parents would tell you to go back to bed because it's not there. It's just your imagination.
Right. Well, even that commercial on TV, did you see that where the kid has got the monster in the room and she's got her phone and she says, it says you're not real, you know?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's a commercial. Well, listen, you were just recently in Gettysburg. That was a really great show that you all did for Gettysburg. That's in my neck of the woods. I actually have been to Gettysburg. I actually have my picture taken right at the Jenny Waite house, right at that door with a shotgun hole in it.
Yeah. So
what'd you think of Gettysburg?
I loved it. I mean, just walking there, the history and just all the... I've heard about it, and I was like, oh, cool, this is going to be cool. But when you go there, it's a whole different story. It's like you're actually there. You know what I mean? Like, you can imagine everything happening. And it was just so cool. And the orphanage and the places we got to hunt were just amazing. And Jenny Wade's house was awesome. We got to I'm Pregnant. Oh, man, that was cool.
That was.
But, dude, that was one of the best. And then the reenactment scene, that was pretty awesome because when I got shot, I just went down first, and you could hear the bullet zipping past the head, and like everyone screaming. It was like I was actually on the battlefield. It was pretty cool. I just closed my eyes, and I was like, "Yeah." But Gettysburg is awesome.
Yeah,
so
I thought.
Place.
Yeah, they say that a lot of the apparitions happen out in the woods at the monuments, the various different things out in the actual cemetery. Not cemetery, in the actual grounds of Gettysburg, they do have like you can't go out there at night, you know, you can't be in the park after after 10 o'clock or something like that.
Yeah, we wanted to hunt there so bad, but you can't. That's government law or whatever, you know.
Yeah, they won't let you in there. But people sneak in there all the time, and we actually have a friend whose family had a farm that was right bordering on Gettysburg, the grounds. And as a kid, him and his cousins used to go camping, and he said that everyone never made it through the night because in the middle of the night they'd hear battles, they'd hear all kinds, they'd hear wagons being pulled, soldiers, gunfire, people walking past the tent, and nobody ever made it through the night camping next to the grounds. And most people say that a lot of the activity happens on the grounds after dark, not so much in the buildings, but on the grounds themselves. And I found that it was really interesting because I was really drawn to the trees. You know, they have these great big trees all over there. And I don't know why, but I was just like, oh, my God. And it's like the trees stood there like, and all I could think of is you've seen it all. And when I got home and I did some research, they actually have a name for those trees. They're called witness trees. And the trees actually were present during the battles, and it holds the memories of the battles. It's seen the battles. And I thought it was really weird because when I was there, I was so drawn to the actual huge trees around there. So it was really a very profound experience for me. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, we walked on Devil's Rock, and then we went in that forest up there, and that's what I sensed when I was there. Like, man, these things saw the guys hiding, dead, you know, everything. They saw everything.
Right. Well, and you, one thing people have been asking me, okay, so I got a couple of questions that people actually email me and whatnot, okay? So you don't mind if I ask you a couple? All right. Now, one of them has to do with orbs, okay? And I find that a lot of paranormal investigators disagree on the subject of orbs. And some say all orbs are bugs or dust. And you're the one that's shooting the footage. And you can tell the difference between, let's say, a bug or a piece of dust. And you've actually captured some moving orbs on cam. So what is your opinion on orbs?
My opinion on orbs is a lot of it is dust, but, like, the ones that float shoot fast and, like, you know, you can tell it has, like, a glow to it or, like, almost a mist. Like, I don't know, like, Pavegli, the one that took out the equipment, you know, like we capture those, the ones that shoot in our heads, like it's really weird. And but dust, you can tell dust, it's like a snow flurry, it falls down a lot. And even in pictures, my big thing about pictures and stuff is if you can see, like, because I have orbs with a face, you can actually see faces in them, and I believe that is like a true orb, not just a matrix, because every time a dust picture orb, it always has a circular thing going on. It's always looked the same. And then, but the ones that are real bright and glowing weird and like have the stream to it, like I assume that those are probably something, because obviously you would have seen it. If it's a bug, you know, you can kind of tell what bugs are. They don't really give off this crazy glow, and they give off a little glow, but it's like a white glow, you know what I mean? Or something weird like that on pictures. So,
right.
But orbs are a tough situation. They are. It is a tough, it's a tough calling though. But the ones when they fly into us and like something happens, or I can feel energy drain from me, like when in Paveglia, like I was having that happen to me. I didn't know stuff was shooting in my head, but it was, when I come back and watch the footage, I'm like, oh, dang, you know what I mean? Like that's right when it was happening, you know, and you can see that stuff. So it was energy flying in.
Right. So there's other evidence besides just seeing the orb go to your head. But you actually are getting a physical sensation at the time. You tie the two of them together, and that's telling a story as opposed to just a random orb here or there. I can see the difference. Another thing that somebody wanted me to ask you is, okay, so like quite often, you know, we've seen a lot where you've actually been experienced paranormal activity before the lights go out, you know, when the lights are on, when you're just doing the walkthroughs. So why always the lights out? I mean, can't you do a paranormal investigation with lights on, or does that have to do with your equipment because you need to have the lights out in order to film using the type of equipment that you have?
Well, you can do it during the day, but it just seems at night it's easier to capture stuff. But another thing is we use an emotional approach kind of to how we hunt. So it's like, you know, night is more like a little scarier, you know what I mean? So it brings our emotional, well, it brings my emotional fear out.
You're using your emotions, Aaron.
Yeah, and then that, because, you know, we do give an emotional approach to it. So it's like we're feeding the energy out so they can feed off of. So it's like when you're sitting all happy in a room, and so Joe Schmo walks in, he's all bad mood, it can turn the whole mood bad. You know what I mean? Everyone could be in a bad mood after that. And
sure.
So it's like, when the lights are out, it's dawn, like that's just usually when more paranormal activity happens. One, it's because if your house is haunted, you'd be in your house at night sleeping calm and cool. You'd hear the noises, hear the things happening. You'd feel the stuff easier because you're more relaxed. So I think that almost like, I don't know, we know nighttime's coming. I'm sure ghosts do too, you know, maybe they come out more during then too. But during the day, you get just as much evidence. You can get just as much evidence as... during the night. I'm actually trying to think, like, how could you film something during the day to capture something, you know? But there's too much light in there, so the camera can't pick anything up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, right.
They could with a shadow figure, but, like, not like, you know, certain weird anomalies or, you know, anything like that is kind of tougher to see.
Right. Okay, going back to what you said about them draining your energy, okay, because I don't know if you have read some, you know, go other people's books, okay, but Marianne Winkowski, she can see earthbound spirits, and she also wrote this book, When Ghosts Speak, and I recently read it, and what she's talking about in that book, and she's going to be on our show in a couple of weeks, what she's talking about is that ghosts don't necessarily drain electrical equipment, batteries or things like that. They can affect them. They can cause lights to go on and off. They can cause your computer to blink, your TV to go off, things like that. They actually use our energy, the physical energy of people. She even said that some of the most haunted places, you know, are where people have a lot of emotions, like one place being like a theater, a movie theater, where people would be emotional watching movies, bars, where there's a lot of emotions going on in bars, places where there's large gatherings of people, that's where a lot of emotion is, that's where they like to hang out, earthbound spirits. And she's talking about them actually draining your energy in order to manifest or do the things that they do. And so you, like I say, you seem to be really susceptible to that, but also I've seen it happen with Zach and Nick as well. Do you feel, not so much the electrical equipment, but more so this is why you guys take this emotional approach to your ghost busing, is more or less your ghost hunting is because you're trying to kind of, by using your energy, have them manifest or do more things?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, kind of. I mean, the more we use our emotional approach, the more that they will feed off of it. So we kind of do know that it juices them up. And so, that's a good point. That would be one reason we'd do it. And it's true, like, you know, the more you throw off that energy and the more you throw off that vibe, you know, if you come in there aggressive and pissed off, that spirit might come at you even more. If you come in there with a loving emotion and a comforting emotion, you might get the old lady or the kid who still aren't there to come and talk to you, you know? So, and with the battery thing, I could see that too, you know? Like, I could see it because I don't know how many times you go in there and batteries go dead only in these certain spots, you know? So it probably could be manipulating or draining its energy or I don't know. It's weird. I wish I had all the answers. That's one reason I'm still hunting, you know? Like, so every time we hunt, there's another question in my brain. There's another question I want to answer because, like, you know, we haven't hunted with every kind of spirit, and so every time we go across a new spirit, it's a different whole bunch of questions I got now, you know?
Right.
So
right.
I guess the only way to find those out is when I pass on.
Okay. Well, let me just take a minute here, and I just want to go back and tell our listeners that a lot of you might be avid fans of Ghost Adventures, and maybe you've got a question for Aaron, so I want to give out the telephone numbers. You can call toll-free at 888-815-9756. You can also call in at 530-413-4510, 530-413-4522. Again, we're talking to Aaron Goodwin, the cameraman and fellow member of Ghost Adventures this evening, and I'm sure he'd be happy to take one of your questions. I do have one question for you myself. Aaron, has it ever been a time that you guys almost didn't make the whole lockdown? Did you ever want to just get the heck out of there?
Preston Castle and Bob Mackey's.
Preston Castle, that's not been shown yet. Is that upcoming?
Which one? Preston Castle?
Yeah.
No, that was a while ago.
That was a long time.
I got scratched, and Zach was kind of feeling emotional with, I can't remember the name, but the old lady who was there. And, it was pretty scary, but it was like we were waiting like the last hour. We're just sitting there like we got an hour to go until the guy comes or the girl comes and locks us out. We're just like sitting there like, oh, just get us out of here. You know, like we don't sleep in those places. And some people ask if we like take naps or no. It's raw. We're in there. We chill. We go put all the cameras down, come back. I mean, you got to remember this. Every time there's an ex-camera laid down, usually I'm the one going back there by myself or maybe the guys. But usually by myself grabbing this camera. So I'm going to these scary spots all by myself, grabbing the gear.
Oh, my
sometimes
God.
Sometimes I have to run through bats. Like, I ran through 7 bats swarming and feeding in the air, and they're, like, hitting my shoulder. Oh, so scary.
Ugh.
That was dangerous.
Now, you're scared of spiders, right?
I don't like spiders at all.
Yeah, and Zach doesn't like heights.
And snakes.
And Nick doesn't like to be locked into anything, shut into anything anymore, ever since you guys put him in the...
Yeah, I mean, he still will, though. He did the live event. After Essex, he did do it at the live event, but...
Right. That wasn't very nice to lock him in the morgue in the slab thing. That was really awful. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe he's doing that. That was totally insane. No way.
I wouldn't do it.
I shudder just thinking about it right now. So that was pretty amazing. You know, what? Where are you guys going? What do we got to look forward to in the upcoming season? Tell us a few of the places.
Oh man, we shot a lot. We're going to. There's a spot in Vegas too. There's one outside of Vegas called Armagosa. It's like an hour and a half, it's like in Death Valley, about an hour and a half out of Vegas. That place was amazing. That's a pretty cool spot. And then we went to a spot in Vegas where it has to do with the mob, the corner on the left kind of thing, you know, and the cul-de-sac. So we went to a spot out there. That was pretty intense. Waverly's pretty awesome. Waverly's coming up next week. That place is amazing because it's the number one proven fact that you can actually see shadow people there. People bring their equipment to test it out there, and it's Waverly Hills is amazing. So we went there. Trying to think, like, we're all over. We've been shooting so much that we've got a lot of episodes already ready to go to show. So
you're still shooting the season, so you're still going from location to location.
Yeah, in fact, I just got off the plane, got in the car, And now I'm out. I just finally got to the hotel, so I'm just sitting here chilling.
Okay.
We're on location right now.
Yeah.
And then we leave, and we leave for, after this, we leave for 2 days, go home for 2 days, and we fly out to the next location.
Wow. So you're busy. So how long do you guys shoot for? Like, how many months in a row?
Usually the whole year. And sometimes
really?
We have, like, November off and December for the holiday kind of thing. But a lot of times, like, you'll still, I'm going to Scarefest this year.
Yeah.
And so, like, I got to do that in the off season. So, like, we're constantly going everywhere. We have a couple ghost hunts we're doing. So it's like,
are you
we're
guys
all over
doing,
the place.
You guys going to be doing a new, an October a Halloween special?
No, not this year. Not this year.
Oh.
I know we tried and everything, but it just didn't work out.
Right.
Not this year. And so we're like, no. But I'm sure next year we'll have going
okay,
for
next
sure.
Year. Okay, one place I think you guys ought to go is Casadagua down in Florida. I don't know if you know about it. It's a spiritualist camp down there in Florida, and they got a haunted hotel. I kid you not. When you go to the second floor and you look down the hallway, it looks like something out of a horror movie with all these doors and the exit sign at the end of the hallway. Just really, really bizarre. And we stayed there overnight, just one night, and I got to tell you, nobody was on the top floor, absolutely nobody. As a matter of fact, the people don't even stay, like the clerks, they don't have clerks. They give you keys, you have outside keys that you come into your doors, into your rooms. And they told us that there was only four people staying, and we were all side by side on the lower floor. And we knew everybody that was staying at the hotel. And when the lights went out, when it got to be, you would have swore somebody was moving furniture up there. It sounded just like somebody was moving furniture. Somebody else heard kids running around. It was just all night long, nonstop crap all night long. I don't think anybody got much sleep. So maybe put that on your list of checking it out, which is a hotel in Casadagua. It's pretty bizarre. I know that if I want a good night's sleep, I'm not going back there ever again. And, the rooms aren't really comfortable either, so I'm not shout out for
sounds
the
like
room.
A good place.
Might be cool to go up there. I know one thing that I saw when I was there is there was this one girl that was sitting in the lobby, and perfectly beautiful girl. I mean, really attractive girl. But as I'm staring at her in that light, honest to God, it looked like something right out of The Wizard of Oz, The Wicked Witch. It was like her face started transforming, and it became very witchy-like and very scary and almost bizarre. And I keep staring at her going, but she's a pretty girl. Why am I seeing this? And it was something that was happening in the lobby. So I just think that place must be pretty darn haunted. That's all I got to say. So
yeah, no, I'll throw it out there. Definitely throw it out to our researchers.
Throw it out there and tell them, check out Casadagua. So anyhow, your life has changed. So now when you go places, do people recognize you? Can you still, like, just walk out and get a burger without people bothering you?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, a lot of times it's like, well, you know, they come up. But, I mean, I'm a real friendly person, so I'm always like, hey, what's up, and hang out with people for a while. Like, I've been working in the industry for a long time, so I kind of seen, like, anyone and everyone, like, all the way from, like, Brad Pitt to, you know, like, the major stars. So it's kind of like... So, like, I just, like, when someone comes up, I just hang out and say, hey, you know, like, so it happens. Like, sometimes it takes us a while to get home, but, hey, that's what we're here for, you know. We're pretty approachable people, so, yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it. It's new to me, so kind of cool. I dig it.
Are you ever going to investigate, like, I know that you do a lot of places that are notoriously haunted, meaning they have a history of hauntings. They also have a, you know, pretty sad history behind them. Let's say if somebody ever gave you a personal private residence that wasn't necessarily, you know, noted for being haunted, would you ever consider, you know, going in and doing a private residence?
Yeah, we have. We've actually looked into it, but it just hasn't happened because, like, I mean, sometimes when we leave, it's still active, and you know what I mean? Like, we don't want to, like, mess up some home or something.
Wait,
you know,
what do you mean, mess up?
You know, well, like, you know, like, if knowing us, we come in there and then, like, it's still active for a little bit longer. Like, you know, it's still fun.
Oh, so you
it's
just
like,
stir things up. Oh,
sometimes, not all the time, but, like, sometimes it's happened and it's kind of, I mean, that's cool. we'll come in and stir things up for you.
Yeah, we'll just make it worse, no problem, but we'll have pictures.
We'll make it worse, but
So well,
usually
know.
The spots we go to that are abandoned that it gets worse, you know. Like, that's why we just stick to the abandoned. Like, not all of them are abandoned, but we stick to mainly those spots.
Yeah. So if let's say there's potential people out there, young people that admire your show, and I know that you have a lot of admirers because generally speaking, you know, I get a lot of email from people. You know, what would be your biggest advice? You know, don't go do this yourself. We do this on TV, but we're trained professionals. Don't go running off and doing this yourself. I mean, what would be your biggest advice for somebody that wants to do what you do?
My personal advice would be just know the risks if you're going to do it. I mean, I don't play at the Ouija board, never have, but the same thing as an EVP is just like using the Ouija board. You're communicating with the dead, so it's like no matter what you do, you know, you're dipping into something that could affect you for life. So if you're going to do it, know the consequences. But at the same time, when you do it, trust your instincts, trust your feelings, and go out there with an open mind. Not everything's paranormal, but some of it is, and a lot of people dismiss it when they shouldn't.
Okay, well, that's good advice. I think we have another caller, Aaron, so I'm going to take the next caller, okay?
Yes. Cool.
All right, so who's calling, please?
Hi, this is Daria. How are you?
Hi, Daria. How are you?
I'm enjoying this show immensely. So I have a question for Aaron. Having done this for so long and communicating with spirits and kind of being immersed in that energy, do you find yourself ever getting messages or feeling like you need to deliver messages from anybody?
No. Well, when I'm on investigations and stuff, sometimes we'll get EVPs that are trying to give us messages or something happened. I mean, I've had things whisper in my ear like help and, you know, weird things like that. But, I mean, I don't know what I could do, you know. but no messages for really, like, are you talking like personal messages?
Well, you know, I how after a while when you're immersed in the energy of the other side, you kind of start to pick up messages from people, not just what you get. In other words, do you feel yourself becoming more psychic as you're doing all these investigations and you really immerse yourself in the energy?
Good point, Daria. Good question.
Yeah, I don't know, like, I can walk into places, like, my buddy, the bartender, and I'll walk in sometimes, and I'll be like, dude, this place is fun, I can feel, I'll start getting really tired, and and then, like, you know, we come to find out there's been a couple deaths in that bar, you know, so it's like, that happens to me once in a while, so, like, I don't know, I don't get, like, visual messages or anything in my head like that, but sometimes, like, when I was a kid, I used to have feelings about stuff, and, like, I'll be like, hey, something, you know, like, you know, cops like coming up here, slow down, driving or whatever, and then like there is a cop there. You know, like that happens to me sometimes. It's really weird, but it only happens once in a while, and so like, and it's happened since I've ghost hunted. So maybe, but maybe it's just I get feelings of things. You know, like I guess that is kind of psychic. It's, I guess a little bit, but I wouldn't consider myself psychic at all. I just consider myself I could feel something happening around, or you know.
Aaron, I've got news for you, dear. That is psychic, okay? Hello. Aaron, we need to talk, okay?
Right. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling, Daria.
Thank you for calling.
Aaron, we need to talk, okay? That is psychic. When you get feelings about things, when you can feel spirits around you, that is a form of being psychic. And I got news for you, too. The more that you are open to this, paying attention to it, whatever, you're going to get more psychic because the more you use your tool, the better you get at it. So you better prepare yourself, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, from the beginning to now, it's totally 100% different, you know? Like,
right.
So, yeah, you're kind of right.
Well, I noticed on past episodes that, per se, you invited in a lot of other paranormal investigators, but I didn't see you inviting in a lot of mediums themselves to perhaps get their feelings on things. But I noticed in the upcoming episodes that it looked to me as though you had asked a medium or psychic to come in and maybe, you know, give you some input about the shows. Are you going to be using more psychics and mediums in your shows?
I'm not sure. That's not my decision. That's a Nick and Zach decision.
Okay. I get it.
No, they do all the decision making.
Okay.
So
well,
that'd be their kind of question.
Okay. Well, as long as I got your full undivided attention, you know I'm a numerologist and numbers have meanings. Okay. So I'm going to tell you right straight up. I want you to pay attention to room numbers that are 22 and 11s. Okay. Because chances are, I mean, like there can be a sequence of numbers. 11 being probably one of the strongest ones, like a room number 11, that one being the most haunted in the particular place, even the numbers, the addresses of the places where you go, because I kind of did some research on it, because, see, numbers have energy. There are certain numbers that are really psychic, 11, 22, 9, 3, 7, and they tend to show up in haunted houses, in the house numbers. And it's just like anything, like draws like, that those numbers will actually draw paranormal experiences to them. So do me a favor, you know, if you, let's say you're doing an investigation and you're finding 11s, hey, email me and let me know, okay, for my reason.
All right. It's weird you say that because my favorite number is 2, and I love 2-2s. So 2-2 is my favorite number.
Yeah. Well, 22 is very psychic. Uh-huh. Okay, we have to do your chart, Aaron. That's all I got to say. We have to do your chart. And as I said to you, you know, it's like a lot of times people don't realize that they are psychic. It's like if you meet people and you know right away if you like them or you know, man, I'm staying away from this dude because there's just something about him. And you think that that is just you, but technically you just read their energy and decided, no, I don't want nothing to do with that. When you walk into a room and you feel heaviness to the room, feel like there's spirit activity in there, hello, you tapped into the energy of that room and you're reading it. That's psychic, okay? How many times have you, let's say, thought of somebody and ran into them the next day? Or they called you, you know, within an hour, or knew who was on the phone. All of that's psychic. I mean, I think that you're psychic. I just don't think that
you're creeping me out now because I've had a lot of, this is a totally different story. I won't get into it, but like vampire things and like vampire energy kind of stuff. And I'm like, I always felt like I'd see this person. And next thing you know, the next day I see them. I'm like, what the hell?
Okay.
and then we have this. Okay, go ahead. I'm not going to get all
Wait
that.
Wait a minute. What did I just say, Aaron? What did I just say? I said, if I think of somebody and you see them, hello, that's psychic. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm not going to, I'm just going to let you sit with that, Aaron, and you just think about that for a little while.
I'll definitely get off this phone and ponder this conversation.
Okay. All right, Aaron. Well, I can't, it's amazing. I really had a great time talking to you. And I know that your schedule's crazy. Totally appreciate you coming on the show. I just want everybody to know that Ghost Adventures, it's on Friday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the Travel Channel. You don't want to miss it. The new episodes every single week, every one of them are exciting. The evidence is fantastic. If you never believed in ghosts, you're certainly going to believe in ghosts once you start watching Ghost Adventures. Aaron, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Oh, dude, it was awesome. Thank you so much, and thanks for talking to me about stuff I never really thought of.
Okay. Well, you go and go get a beer or something. Go have some Starburst candy, you know, because I see that you take that on your thing. You just go ahead and have a few Starbursts, maybe a drink, and think about that for a while, okay?
I will. And it was great chatting with you, and anytime, I'd love to come back on.
I'd love to have you, Aaron. All right, you take care of yourself, okay? Stay safe.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye, Aaron.
Bye.
All right, everyone. That was a fun show. Really enjoyed talking to Aaron. And, you know, as I said, Ghost Adventures, Friday night, Travel Channel, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You got to tune in because it's a great show. And I will be back again next week. Have a wonderful guest, L.A. Ellenwood. And we're going to be talking about some books that she wrote and even one on numerology. So for all of you people that adore numerology, you're going to love hearing from L.A. next week. So see you then. And in the meantime, I wish you all abundant blessings. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.